From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Very happy to have you here. Hopefully everybody had a good Christmas, getting ready for the new year, waiting for ice. Waiting for ice to happen somewhere in Michigan. I'm sure it's somewhere, but maybe like 6-8 hours away north from where I live in Lansing. But there's ice somewhere. If it's safe, I'm not sure. But would like to know. WildMichiganRadio.com is our website. You can upload our podcast, or download our podcast, rather, from there. You can do it from iTunes. They're uploaded automatically the minute we put them up. And again, you can visit all our sponsors on there, like Timber Freak Game Calls, Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. And you can find on our page called Meet the Experts a gentleman by the name of Lance Valentine from Walleye 101. He joins us. Lance, welcome back, brother, as always. Good to have you here.
Thank you, my friend. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you as well. Let's first review the year in walleye, 2014. Looks like we had another good year class, but there's some caveats there. We had some issues with a lot of ice on the Detroit River at a time where we're normally fishing.
Yeah, you know, traditionally we try to get in a lot of the, first week of April and get our charter started. And this year we didn't get a chance to get our boat actually in the water until April 10th. Some guys were down early and it had fish and we're fighting the ice floes. But you know, obviously as a charter captain, when you have the responsibility of your customers, that's something we just don't do. So we put our boat in April 10th, started April 11th, and had one of the best years we've ever had. Probably had more fish over 12 pounds than we ever had, and another great year of average fish and lots of fish, 8, 9, 10 pounds. Like I said, I think we had 17 fish this year over 12 pounds. So our best year for big fish, and the big fish seemed to come in bunches. We had lots of days where we had 8, 9 fish that were 30 inches or bigger. So an amazing fishery. Some of us think that that was created. We had a great spring in part due to the early ice and the late ice out, which we think, forget that a lot, the fishermen didn't hurt it. We think what helped our spring fish in the Detroit River last year was that all that extra ice time actually kept the commercial fishermen off the lake. So the commercial fishermen missed a couple months that traditionally they didn't get. And I'll tell you why we say that, because traditionally the fish come up the American side of the Detroit River first. They come up the Canadian side later. That's why the Canadian side traditionally is better later in the season. Mm-hmm. It got better earlier on the Canadian side, and it stayed good longer on the Canadian side this year. So some of the talk between the fishermen and some of our biologist friends were, we really feel that the commercial fishermen getting off the water earlier in the fall and not being able to get back to later in the spring really, really helped the amount of fish we had in the system in April.
You know, that's funny. Economically, for the commercial fishermen, it was kind of tough because they couldn't get out there at the regular time. But for the everyday angler, the person that may miss those opportunities, it was a huge, huge thing.
Yeah, obviously we don't know for sure if that's what happened. It was a huge year class. The 2003 year class was great. The 2006, we had a good hatch. We had a lot of fish in the system that came up the river anyway. But it's just kind of funny how, it'd be nice to go another year or two without a big commercial harvest in the fall and early spring and see if the numbers stay the same. But April and May were fantastic on Detroit. I know our friends at Fish Saginaw Bay early in the season had great success in April and May and Lake Erie. The trolling bite got good, middle of April when guys got on water, basically from the reef support Clinton to the islands, and that was fantastic. So the springtime on a scale of 1 to 10 this year is probably 10.5 or 11, if you really want to rate it, to the spring's past.
That is huge. And your class wise, like we've talked about, the hatch, the quality of the fish, the quantity of the fish, that we have had some amazing numbers in Lake Erie, in a fishery that at one time folks thought was dead.
Yeah, you know, and it's really not, you know, we kind of laugh about that now, but it's really not that long ago. I mean, it's, you know, I can remember back in the early 80s, my dad going down for a trip from work and, you know, still doing the casts, you know, weight forward spinners and these big giant schools of fish that were only 6, 8, 10 feet below the surface because the water was so dirty. These fish traveled in big giant schools and they stayed shallow. That's the only place they could see their bait, and guys would cast for them and catch them on weight forward spinners. You know, and that's only, you know, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the lake really overwent, really took a change, really got to where it is today back in the 90s. That's when we started to see the open water trolling, having to use offshore inline boards to get your baits to the side of the boat, multiple baits, fishing a little bit deeper. You know, so that change is really, the fishery we have now really has only been around for 15, 18 years. So if you fish Lake Erie for 25, 30 years, you've really seen it go through a big, big, big change on how big the fish are, where they are, and how you catch them.
Speaking with Lance Valentine from Walleye 101, a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. In the grand scheme of things, in the scheme of time, that is a blink, man, when it comes down to it.
Correct.
And seriously, when you think, well, look, I'm 48, you know, in that amount of time, that has done such a huge transformation in that short amount of time. That
I hope people understand that if they live here in Michigan for walleye fishing, these are the good old days. It can't get any better than this. We have huge amounts of fish in all of our systems. The inland lake fishery, bolstered by the DNR and some management techniques and some planning, is the best it's ever been for lots of lakes. There used to be pockets of inland walleye fishing. Now it's everywhere in the state of Michigan. The Great Lakes are the best they've ever been for numbers and for size and for numbers of big fish. These are the good old days. So if you haven't been fishing a while, you sold your boat when the fishing kind of went bad, you know, 10, 12 years ago. 2015 is a great year to get back. You take a charter with somebody or get with some friends, get back on the water and get back to this great fishing.
As we ride this wave of fish and of numbers, of size, quality, and quantity, waves inevitably come crashing into the ground, into landfall, if you will. Do we see landfall in sight? I mean, I don't want to jinx this, but there's got to be a wave, a crash.
I don't. You know, according to the numbers, we had another good hatch on both Saginaw Bay and Lake Erie. This fall, a lot of our Walleye 101 guys have been going to Saginaw Bay, and they're talking about catching, you know, 150, 200 fish in a day to get 6 or 7 keepers. So there's a ton of fish that are 6 to 12, 13, 14 inches. We've seen that in the bay for the last 6 years, and that's continued. Lake Erie's had another great hatch. We've had some great bait fish numbers on Lake Erie, which is always kind of an indication of how good the fishery is going to be. I, in the near future, I don't see it. You know, and what's great, Duran, is, you know, you've been in the outdoor business for a long time now. We're seeing a lot smarter management of our fisheries. Mm-hmm. We're seeing year-to-year management of our fisheries. Where, you know, where before it used to be, oh, yeah, 5 fish, 15 inches, that's what it's been for 50 years. We'll keep it that way. Now what we're doing is we're seeing Ontario, Michigan, Ohio get together every year, check out exactly what they figured the catch rate was, look at what came into the population, look at what came out, and actually set limits basically every year based on the fishery. So advanced management and, you know, yearly management is going to help that fishery stay good for a long time, as opposed to the old way where we just kept taking fish until there was a problem and we reacted to the problem. We have to kind of give our fisheries biologists and our DNR departments a round of applause for actually managing on a year-to-year basis and making sure the fishery never really does get to a point where it's going to be hard for it to come back.
Lance Valentine is our guest here on Wild Michigan. WildMichiganRadio.com is our website. You can pick up Lance on our Meet the Experts page, his website, walleye101.com. There's a link there. But stick around. We got more coming your way in a little bit. You can find it all. Get it all. Get all the information you need. WildMichiganRadio.com here on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, I'm Lee Lukowski.
And I'm Tiffany Lukowski from the Crush TV.
And you're listening to Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Looking forward to seeing Lee and Tiffany down at the ATA show next month. Big excitement coming from one of the booths. Colt Ford going to be performing live at one of the bow booths down there. Love me some country hip hop. Can't wait to see Colt Ford. Going to be a big time speaking with Lance Valentine right now here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. A new project, Lance, that you've got going on, an angling challenge with Lance Valentine. Tell me about the angling challenge.
Well, what the angling challenge is, it's an angling competition. And what we did is we basically looked at tournament angling from a different perspective. You know, I learned a lot through tournament angling. I think guys do. It puts you in a position where you have to catch fish. You're competing against guys on the same body of water at the same time under the same conditions. So what it does is it kind of tests your skills and kind of gets you out of your comfort zone, and it's a great way to learn. But some of the tournament circuits that are out there, they're a little too competitive. People feel you need to have a big, giant boat to compete. They're on big bodies of water with lots of weather. You have to fish with five tournaments with the same partner, which I don't know about you, but I can't find anybody who can get the same five weekends off as I can anymore.
Right.
So what we did is we looked at what tournaments are doing now, and we kind of went totally the opposite. So we created a little tournament circuit. Our tournaments will be held on Sundays, one-day tournament on Sundays. Pre-fishing is limited to Friday and Saturday, so you can't be on the water the week before. So what that does is that guys who can't get vacation time and can't fish for 5 days aren't at a disadvantage. We're going to do small bodies of water, or when we go, we're going to go to Detroit River and Saginaw Bay, but both those bodies of water are going to have boundaries, which are going to limit where you can go, and we'll have multiple launches, so you won't have to run 30 miles to get to the fish. So you'll be within 10 miles of the fish no matter where you are, as long as you launch at the right place. So we're trying to get the guys with smaller boats to compete. You can fish with teams of 2 to 4 people. There's a line limit per boat, so 6 rods on the lake, 4 rods on the river, so boats with 2 guys have the same amount of rods in the water as the boats with 4 guys, but having 4 guys in the boat kind of helps you spread the cost out a little bit. And we're going to do something that's kind of unique. We're going to do a no-fish weigh-in. So what you're going to do is in the morning, you're going to get a boat board number assigned to you, and we're going to give you a random object. You'll have a ruler in your boat, and when you catch a fish, what you do is you'll put that fish on the ruler, you'll measure to the nearest quarter inch, and you'll take a digital picture with the fish on the ruler, with your boat board number and your random object that you're assigned. And you have the option, you can let that fish go or put it in a live well, we don't care. You'll record it on a recording sheet, and at the end of the day, you'll come in, you'll check off your 5 longest fish, we'll add up the inches, and that's our winner. So we don't have to worry about keeping fish alive. We don't have to worry about being able to get permits to do a live weigh-in. We don't have to have all the logistics of keeping fish alive. So it really gives us the opportunity to do weigh-ins at other places other than the boat ramp. Allows us to go to some places that really aren't conducive to a normal tournament circuit. So we're trying to get guys who maybe don't want to compete in a 2-day tournament, don't have the vacation time, can't find a partner to fish with for 5 weeks, maybe only want to fish 1 or 2 tournaments. So we're trying to find a place that the guy can come, enjoy tournament fishing, maybe put a few dollars in his pocket, but actually enjoy it, maybe fish with some people that he normally wouldn't fish with. So we're pretty excited. The response has been pretty good from both the regular angler, the weekend angler we designed it for, and the actual tournament angler are kind of going, hey, you know what? Neat concept. You might see some of us there. So we're pretty excited about where the angling challenge is going to go this year.
Speaking with Lance Valentine from 101, talking about the angling challenge, you can find it on Facebook, facebook.com/angling challenge. It's got a list of your stops, Detroit River, May 3rd, Houghton Lake, on the 31st of May. Then you go to the Holloway Reservoir, Saginaw Bay, Burt Lake, all great walleye fisheries.
All great walleye fisheries at a time of year where we can go. You know, we went to Saginaw Bay in the summertime. We're going to do 2 things. We're going to put boundaries on it. So the maximum distance you can travel from the mouth of Saginaw River will be about 7 miles. We're going to launch at Linwood and at Seabling, so guys can launch either side of the bay depending on where their fish are, not to make a long run. Again, smaller boats, guys that maybe aren't used to big water, they can launch close to their fish and get to their fish. And the Saginaw Bay is nice because if we do have bad weather, it gets rough, or a guy in a small boat wants to compete, don't forget that Saginaw River is a fantastic fishery all summer. So we have the ability to dump into the river if the weather gets too bad, so we won't lose a day because of weather. So, yeah, we're pretty excited. We went to some places that traditionally have not had walleye tournaments because it's too hard to take fish out and keep fish alive. And a lot of the communities don't want you to come and do a kill tournament. So,
right.
doing the photograph on the boat is actually been a pretty big asset for us. So we're excited about the place it's going to take us.
You know, and again, for those who want to catch and release too, it's a really great option. So you don't have to stress the fish out any more than need be if you don't want to.
Correct. You know, if you want to fish, you don't have a live well on your boat. Now we've opened up that opportunity for you too. So it just creates an opportunity for lots of guys to fish who might otherwise not fish tournaments.
So speaking of Lance Valentine, Walleye 101 here, walleye101.com is his website. You can get to it via wildmichiganradio.com. Lance, here's the final and probably toughest question I'll ask you today.
Okay.
Did we put the boats away too early?
A lot of guys did, yeah. You know, I unfortunately, we've got some things going on here at Walleye 101 that have kept me off the water the last couple weeks, just because, you know, sometimes you got to make a living,
Sure.
And, but a lot of our Walleye 101 guys have been fishing. I got a couple of them in the store today helping me pack worms for the Novi show, and the fishing in Ohio, the fishing on the Saginaw River, the fishing on Saginaw Bay has been absolutely lights out the past 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow.
You know, I traditionally don't put my boat away until right around December 15th, December 20th. It's kind of, because you always get 1 or 2 days where, you know, where the Saginaw River you can fish, you know, where you don't have an ice. You may have to chop the ice of the boat around, but you can still get out. And fishing this time of year is absolutely fantastic. Remember, every day you go past basically November 1st,
mm-hmm.
the fishing gets better, the competition gets less. There's less and less people on
sure.
the water.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if guys are putting their boats away, you know, I would tell guys to really hold off on the winterizing. Drain your lower unit maybe in early November, late October. Get all the water out. Put fresh fluid back in. Maybe put a little bit of gas stabilizer in your gas tank, not a ton. Don't fog your engine, and that way if you do get a day where you can go, you can get out and you can go fishing, bring your boat, you know, get your motor back, get your motor drained, put your motor all the way down, let the water drain out, maybe dry start it 2 or 3 times. If you've got new fluid in there, if you did that step of taking the old fluid out, putting new fluid in October, you should be good to get to the winter, and that way you're ready to go fish in the wintertime if you get a chance. Putting your boat away or wrapping it up, buttoning it all up to September, October, when you live in Michigan, close to the kind of fishing we do, that is a big, big mistake some years.
All right, 30 seconds left. Fishing Education Center at the Ultimate Fishing Show Detroit, yes?
Ultimate Fishing Show, yes, Fishing Education Center, all of our Detroit River stuff, Detroit River seminars on the Ultimate, Lake Ultimate every day. Come see us about our angling challenge, our members-only program, our seminar series for next year. Come see the new Motor Guide XI5 electric steer motor that hooks to your Lowrance so you can do turns and make your boat, do all the boat control through your Lowrance unit on your XI5. Come talk to us about our new DVDs and just come and talk fishing. Can't wait to see everybody.
Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Thank you so much, Lance Valentine. Walleye101.com. Find him on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Merry Christmas, brother. Love you.
Thank you. I love you, too.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Great, man, we're winding down the year. We're getting towards the winter solstice, the end of fall, the beginning of winter. And that means the days are going to start getting longer, about a minute a day extra of daylight, which I'm very excited about. Very excited about seeing more daylight, man, because I don't think there's enough vitamin D in the world that could make up for the sunshine lost during the winter. But looking forward to January getting here. We're going to hit the road. Indianapolis is where we're going to be next. We're going to head off to the ATA, the Archery Trade Association show. And this is an industry-only show. If you're in the media or you have a manufacturer or you are a retailer, that is the limit as to who can get into the show. We've been going. This will be, I think, our eighth year of going to ATA. Again, it'll be in Indianapolis. David Thomas from Bowhunter Planet. This is going to be a big show, dude. Welcome to the show. And I know you guys, this is a big time for you guys as well.
This is where it all happens. This is the magic. I think we all strive for the ATA show because, to be honest, it's just a big party. I mean, you got the whole industry in one room, basically, one giant room, and it's great. To me, it's the best time to get together with all my friends and talk to everybody I've been on the phone with for the whole year and actually see these products, you know, right in front of you. You know, have a chance to see some of the stuff that they've been, you know, having these concepts for and finally getting a chance to put them out in front of everybody.
It is, and it'll be something I think, as we see every year, people think the outdoors, because of outdoors television, because there's four networks, over 500 shows, people think that this is a big industry. No, it's not. We've said that 100 times. It's a very small industry, and there's a lot of new products trying to make the shelves. Everybody's got a better mousetrap when they come to the ATA show, when you go to the Innovation Zone. I'll be honest, there's a lot of things that I look at going, oh my gosh, are you serious? And I've done that with a couple of products, and then I've got to use them, and I'm like, oh, well, I guess it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I think a lot of things do work. I think the way people do them or engineer them, but I think there's a huge difference between engineering and marketing. And I think, personally, I've seen a lot of companies fail dramatically because they've been led by engineering only and not marketing. And I think, marketing plays a huge role in the design portion of a product and also with the engineering. The engineering plays a role in how it works, you know, fit and function, but you still have to have marketing and design to make it, you know, something people can use and that they think is usable is the key word.
Sure.
Because some of the things you see, you're just like, really? How the heck are you supposed to carry that with you? I mean, it's like 20 pounds and... So I think there's a huge, huge thing with the marketing part of things. And I think a lot of small companies who are designer engineers who come up with these products don't really put a lot of emphasis on the marketing side and a budget for the marketing because it's really, really important. Because that's where you're going to find out from consumers, hey, dude, it's too big. Hey, it's too small. It's, you know, it works. It's great a concept, but it doesn't do this or doesn't do that. And it's failing this way. And that's where all that marketing research comes in and helps to, fix a product before it fails.
No, that's what the test lab does for Bowhunter Planet. You guys are archers. You're hunters. You put these things to work and you know, unabashedly show your findings.
Yeah, I mean, that's been our top thing. And a lot of times, there's a lot of companies who come to us to have us test stuff before it doesn't even hit the market. And no one ever even sees it. And it's just testing to kind of get in the field and see how it works. And that's where they do some research, and I think that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, is like having that marketing research and actual testing in the field is critical. Now, stuff that's been tested by the companies themselves, then they looked at some, you know, when you see the test lab show, then they look at us to go ahead and show it off again in the field, after they think they've, you know, built the best mousetrap, as you would say earlier.
Sure.
That's at that point, that's where you see like a test lab review. But there's a lot of test lab that happens behind the scenes that the consumers actually don't see, and that we are able to test products and see failure rates, accuracy rates, and that kind of stuff, which makes it fun and it's exciting. And I think it's cool because you can see things at the front level, but it's also a little more dangerous because, you know, the products aren't necessarily 100% tested to where they're not failing, you know, so you could have issues.
David Thomas from BowhunterPlanet.com joins us here on Wild Michigan. David, when you test something and the findings may not be to your liking or maybe less than expected, how are companies receiving that information? I mean, how are they taking it?
Companies, honestly, it's like we said, it's a small industry, and a lot of the companies take it. But I don't just provide I provide numbers. It's not just like it's data driven, so it's not like
sure.
I'll also offer some concepts like, hey, I don't really like how it feels in my hand, or there's something weird about the way this does this, and I'm not so sure people would like that, or it's the process is agonizing to turn something on or off, or Those kind of things. But honestly, they take it really well. They receive it very well, and they sometimes make changes, sometimes they don't. But, mm-hmm. That's the point, right? At least someone looked at it, gave them some feedback on what the problems are. But we've never – that's all the stuff that's behind the scenes. The stuff that you see on the show, the main stuff, that's all stuff we've already felt that is fine and good and we like it. You know, we actually don't do those episodes on things we don't like or – don't work. we send back. That's it. We don't go any further with the test lab show if we don't think the product's usable.
Well, speaking of Dave Thomas from bowhunterplanet.com here on Wild Michigan, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. David, without outside testing, these companies cannot move in a proper direction, or at least in a direction to improve. And I think that's fair. I think that's very, admirable of them to say, look, man, these guys tested it. We tested it here. We were fine. But, a lot of times, too, it's in controlled environments with archery equipment. And look, when you're in the outdoors, you have elements, you have different scenarios. It's not a controlled environment.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what it is. So I think their testing generally takes place inside a lab. And it's, let's say a bow, for instance. They're gonna shoot this thing as many times as they can to see when it breaks with dry firing it literally, and keep testing the fracture of the risers and the limbs and this and that. But again, you get out to the field, you got all these other things that come into play that weren't thought of, like a branch coming down into a crossbow rail, or or dropping a bow out of a tree, and then picking it up. And is it still reliable? And obviously, anything can happen. You get hit off a rock. You get hit. You don't know what aspect's gonna happen. So. Products are, I'll be honest with you, though, from what we've seen, the durability in the industry is amazing. The people have engineered things very, very well. I have yet to see a product really just have a catastrophic explosion or anything of that nature. We've been very, we've had issues, but it's always like human error, like messed up putting a mod in, or, somehow a screw got loose or we didn't tighten something, then you have issues. But as far as the performance, I'm talking the top companies here, though, too, okay?
Right.
So when you get to when you're talking like the newbies, the people entering the market, that's a little different. Those products aren't generally tested at all, and it's just what they tested themselves, and they don't have a team of people testing or the proper equipment to test products fully. So those products are a little bit harder. You really have to be careful in analyzing the best you can. Some are easy, though, right? Like a lighted knock, right?
Sure.
What's the big deal? It's just a knock. You're not going to get hurt. But in the same sense, how many times it fail when you fire it? If you fire 10 shots, out of those 10, how many failures? It should be zero. You shouldn't have any failures.
Exactly.
Because if I'm a consumer and I buy the product off the thing and it fails on one of my shots, I'm not very happy about that. That's not cool. I paid money. Product's supposed to work.
There's a certain level.
Those are the kind of things we try to provide feedback on. And that's usually the kind of stuff we're seeing, a lot of the smaller stuff. The bigger stuff like bows, those are usually already tested in inside environments. And then, when we get them, it's pretty much a review more than a test because realistically, these bow manufacturers are strong companies. They've been around years. They know what they're doing, So it's interesting.
David Thomas is our guest here on Wild Michigan. We're going to come back with him. We got a whole other segment coming that we're going to talk with David about from bowhunterplanet.com. There's a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast there. Absolutely free. Download them, share them. Check out our Facebook page while you're there as well. And join us if you would please. More coming with David Thomas, bowhunterplanet.com on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild!
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host, along with Alex Clark and the Michigan Talk Network, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Website, wildmichiganradio.com. Make sure you pick up the podcast there because as soon as we're done with the show here, we upload them and you can listen to them anytime you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click on that link. And there's a link to bowhunterplanet.com there as well. Speaking with David Thomas from Bowhunter Planet. Dave, last year, Nashville was a difficult year because you were the guy behind me on a flight, not like physically in the plane, but I think I know we were one of the last flights to get out of Detroit to go down to Nashville. And I can't remember correctly. Did you make it in time or were you one of the delayed ones?
Yeah, I was the last flight to go out. But when I tried to come back, that didn't happen. It was they're all canceled coming home. I remember that.
And it was very difficult because we had a lot of, we had appointments set and everything else, and people just could not show up. This year, it's in Indianapolis, a town that I love for the Archery Trade Association show. Very easy to navigate. You're a $5 cab ride from everywhere. But this is where they're going to preview a lot of new things. Some inside information we have here on the show we can't share until after the first of the year. I know it's not fair, but you and I both know what that is. But yeah. We're going to be looking at new equipment. Let's just say this. We're going to be looking at some new bows this year. What do you think we should direct our attention to?
Oh, man. There's so many good products this year at the show. So many bow companies. The bows, I would definitely check out all of them. I'm not going to lie. I think every company put out something pretty cool this year. Darden did their Target bows that were really unique and different, and they're definitely a true center shot. So that's really something everybody should check out, the Target segment that Darden has just launched. Very, very impressive. They launched a new crossbow as well that is top of the line, premier, small, compact powerhouse. Definitely want to shoot that. On the flip side, Bowtech launched a whole new line, and they got some new stuff still being launched at the show coming up. Martin did a whole new line this year, mm-hmm. So that's something to check out. There's going to be Excalibur. Some of the normal companies have been there around a while. They'll be launching some things there. Obsession Bows is launching a bow there. Expedition will have their new line there. I mean, there's just a really, to be honest, on that side of it, it's going to be very difficult because it's for the last couple of years, the bow companies have just done a stellar job at launching great product. And I think the market is so saturated with good product. That's an issue. You know, when you go to buy a bow, it's not easy nowadays. So, I mean, Bear Archery launched new bows this year that are great. So that's a hard one to talk about because there's just so much that's really positive right now in the industry for that. Another note, I mean, there's so much stuff going on with camo and clothing, and Kryptek has done a lot this in the past year. I know Bowtech just picked up their pattern on their bows, so that's going to be probably pretty hot this year. Badlands is launching some new stuff at the show. They got some tack packs that are like just black and gray, which are cool if you can use them for everyday use
sure.
on top of hunting stuff. So that's going to be nice, and their stuff's really top-notch quality. If you haven't played with any Badlands packs and or clothing, you're definitely missing out because that stuff is just really premier, warm, durable, very easy, comfortable. That stuff's really, really good job. They've done such a stellar job on it. And then on the other side of that one, you got Predator Camo, who's got great clothing, but to me, one of the most impressive camels in the industry. So lots of cool stuff just to see. And then also sights, the Kingpin from HHA, very exciting. This mm-hmm. is very exciting from HHA, totally new from them. Basically, they took the optimizer section of their sight and they moved it forward. Now, what that did is allows you to put a normal quiver on without extensions, which is huge because before with theirs, you have to have these extension nuts that come out and then you put your quiver on that. So it kind of makes for a little bit of work in there, you know what I mean? Whereas
sure.
now they pushed it forward, it's not in the way of the quiver anymore and you have a lot of room. So definitely going to be cool to check out HHA this year and what they got going. But there are so many good products.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, look, we've worked. So the three main things that we've liked and I've stayed with for a while, you brought up some interesting things with sights, black gold. Not probably the most popular name, but definitely probably the best engineered sight in the business from what I've seen, what I've used. We've absolutely just beaten our black gold sights up. We love them. And Tight Spot Quiver is another one that, is in that family that we really liked as well. The other was our Ripcord Rest. It's all three of those things that we've used. And, we're not sponsored by, with the exception, we've had some working with, Tight Spot. But I know what I like, and it's been tough to get away from those things, but I will always look when I go down there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, those are great brands. You know, Black Gold is a stellar brand, but the only issue with Black Gold is the marketing. They don't do a ton of marketing, which is why, you know, you don't even hear about them as much. But you are correct. Their stuff is top-of-the-line quality. It's very, very durable. We've dropped bows before with their sights on. Never had an issue out of trees, you know, by accident, but not on purpose, but by accident. Still never had an issue with their stuff. They are making definitely high-quality products in this industry. Tight Spot's another great one. I mean, the quiver is so tight to the bow, and that's the concept, that you can, you know, it doesn't get in your way at all, and it's very easy to use. And Ripcord, obviously, is just, you know, to me, there's a handful of rest companies in the industry that are premier. Obviously, Ripcord's one of them, and QAD is the other one with the Ultra Rest. And, you know, they're just great, you know, great rest. Trophy Taker makes great rest. I mean, there's a couple in there, but, you know, obviously, you got to me, a good drop away is you got to have it. So if you're buying a rest or, you know, I don't know what Ripcord's launching this year, if they're launching anything new. I know QAD launched a whole bunch of cool colors, and I know they launched name brand ones, so like Hoyt or Elite. They have specific brand names they got this year so they can put on the bows if you want it to match, you know. Otherwise, really, it's the same product.
Yeah.
If you want the logo.
Exactly. You know, and I'm so, unfortunately, a creature of habit that you know, I've gotten so into a comfort level of certain things. And when you have to make that change, when, you know, because this is business, you make changes sometimes. We used Martin Archery for almost 8 years. We parted ways with Martin on good terms. I love those guys, but I wanted to move in a different direction. Went with Strother. Some things are changing around there. And now we have yet another different direction. And I never want to be confused as one of those people that's just jumping from product to product. That's not how we are. Business changes sometimes, so you have to change with it. And
it's a good point. It's a very good point. I don't think people realize that, you know, when they see changes of brands with things you've done for a while, they might not know the whole circumstances. And I think that's definitely an issue. I've seen that already with stuff we've had to change over and over time. Luckily for us, we haven't seen any major fallback or people mad about anything we've changed. But, you know, I think it's one of those things where we do stick with products till the very end if we can. If there's an issue or a change in ownership or leadership, that changes the company and it changes what they decide to do. So, if, you know, for your radio show, they might say, hey, we're not doing radio next year. That's not your fault. You know what I mean? Of course, you want to continue a relationship if you can, but if a company was to make changes to their marketing budget, and people don't realize this, but in this industry, it's very small, and there is changes all the time
in
marketing people, all the time. This isn't like, since I started BHP, for each company, except for a select few, I've actually had different contacts like each year, and that's good and bad for me. It was good and bad. Some of them were we can never get through before. Now we work with these companies, you know, hand in hand because the new guy loves us, you know, whereas the old guy didn't see a value.
Right.
So it's a good and bad scenario.
There's a lot of personal perspective that goes involved with that's involved with marketing, and for people that, you know, outside of this industry, well, so and so shooting this year, and now they're shooting. You know, we don't make those decisions, man. We don't want to, like you said, we want to stay with who we like forever. But because somebody is buying up somebody all the time, changes have to be made. So, but the one thing I will stick to, and I mean this with all my heart, is what we use is truly what we like, and we don't use anything we don't hear on the show. And that's been something that's very important to me. But Dave Thomas, Bowhunter Planet, he comes back because we like him. and I think he likes us. But, man, you can check him out at bowhunterplanet.com. Dave, Merry Christmas to you and yours, man. I appreciate you joining us here on the show. And as always, I appreciate everybody here on the show. WildMichiganRadio.com. Please, safe, happy holiday season. Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy Hanukkah to everyone. Enjoying this great time of year. So thanks everybody for listening. More coming your way next week on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.